Blog Talk Radio.
Thank the Lord for you, you, and you. This is your host, Reverend Willie J. Vann Jr. We give God the honor and the praise. We thank him for another wonderful Wednesday, August the 21st, 2013. And we just, as always, want to give him honor and praise. We just thank him for what he's done, and people do make the world go round. But tonight, we want to discuss some other things, some. I guess the better, or I guess a good title would be wisdom and knowledge. We understand that there are a number of school systems that are either have started or about to start. This is the time of the year when people are running and going to and fro to prepare their children or either themselves to start up the fall session. So we just wanted to take a look and sort of deal with a little bit of wisdom and a little knowledge and understanding. As before we go into tonight's lesson, As always, we invite you to press 1, and then your hand will be raised, or I'll be able to acknowledge the fact that you have a comment or a question. And we ask that you please participate. We thank the Lord for you. And then I'll be able to acknowledge you and unmute your mic, and then you'll be able to make your comments. Before we go into tonight's lesson, as always, we always want to start off with a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for how you blessed us and how you've taken care of us. Lord God, we understand that we did not come this far by ourselves, that we did not come this far because of our own merit, our own strength. But we thank you, Lord God, because if it had not been for you on our side, Lord God, we don't know where we would be. Lord God, we thank you for the busyness of today. We even thank you, Lord God, for how you bless and how even on just 24 hours ago I was having an allergic reaction, Lord God. And I thank you for the medicine that you told me to go and get. I understand. I know, Lord God, that I feel so much better. You are a healer. You are a life and mind regulator, blood regulator. Lord God, we just allow your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Allow us to say the things that you would want us to say. And then we ask, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit deny or don't let me speak out of my own flesh or out of my own self, but always out of your anointing. Lord God, again, you are a healer. I even thank you, Lord God, and I'm praying, Lord God, for the life of my neighbor, Alfonso Brooks. Lord God, I thank you how you restore him, Lord God. I understand that it will be a process. I pray for peace for his family. Lord God, I thank you for his wife and for his kids, and I pray, Lord God, that they continue to be steadfast in you. Then, Lord God, we thank you for the listening audience. We thank you, Lord God, for those who will be listening live and for those who will be listening to the rebroadcast. Lord God, may tonight's lesson be encouragement to them. May they be even challenged by tonight's lesson, that they will live better, that they would do better. We thank you, Lord God, for the man and woman of God, Jesse and Tammy Storr. We thank you for their faithfulness and for their leadership. We pray, Lord God, many blessings upon them and their family. Lord God, we thank you. And everything we say and do, Lord God, we always give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Again, we thank the Lord for you on this wonderful Wednesday. And it is I, your host, Reverend Willie J. Vann Jr. And we just want to raise up a scripture tonight. I was asking the Lord, what would he have me to teach about? And after I prayed, I saw a text from my niece, and I've been trying to get my niece to let me know what supplies that she is in need of, and the main thing is what is her school colors. I thank the Lord for one of my nieces, Ayana Van. I thank you. She's a great student, a poet in her own right, and making straight A's. So usually when she calls, I kind of stop and give her whatever she wants. She had called or she had texted me and let me know that she had a new phone, a new number. And then I text her back, you know, what about the school colors? What kind of uniforms do you need? What kind of supplies you need? And we went back and forth exchanging some texts, and then I ended up calling her because I just don't understand why people won't call each other. They text each other. But that's a whole nother story. Well, I started, I went back and said, okay, God, you know, what's going on? And he said, that's what I need you to talk about. The preparation for going back to school. What what people feel that they are, what they need to do to prepare themselves for school. You all are talking about her schoolwork or what clothing she needs, what pencils and paper and notebooks and stuff that she needs. But beyond all of that, she needs to acknowledge the fact that I'm the one that will give her understanding, that I will give your niece wisdom and knowledge. So he said, I want you to share this. And I said, okay, God, but what else would you want me to share? You know, I always confirm by your word of God. So when I was able to look, he led me to this scripture. And I want to, as always, want to give you different translations, different versions of the same pericope or the same scripture. I'll be first reading the NIV translation, and the scripture is Proverbs 1, verses 7, 8, and 9. Excuse me, Proverbs 1, verses 7, 8, and 9. The first version or translation I'll be reading is the NIV. Starting at verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. I said, wow, that's interesting. But as always, reading different translations, I want to read, first, this next translation I'll be reading is the New Century Version. It reads, Proverbs 1, verse 7, 8, and 9. This is the New Century Version. It says, knowledge begins with respect for the Lord, but fools hate wisdom and discipline. My child, listen to your father's teaching and do not forget your mother's advice. Their teaching will be like flowers in your hair or a necklace around your neck. Okay, now I'll be reading the Message translation. Very today language, and but wanted just to read this translation because I think this will also help. Start with God. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their nose at such wisdom. Pay close attention, friend, to what your father tells you. Never forget what you learn at your mother's knees. Wear their counsel like flowers in your hair, like rings on your fingers. So, again, we thank the Lord for his word, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And when I read this, it was very interesting when it talks about in verse 7. The New Century Version says, knowledge begins with respect for the Lord, but fools hate wisdom and discipline. And the NIV says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, we understand that this proverb was written by Solomon, King Solomon. King Solomon is the third king of Israel. We understand that King Saul was the first. Then we had King David, who is Solomon's father, and then it was passed down to to King Solomon. We understand that also King Solomon, the Lord, he prayed, and the Lord asked King Solomon, "What is it that you want? What is it that you desire?" And King Solomon, because God asked him, "Whatever you want, I will grant it to you." And King Solomon asked for a discerning heart. So because, and this can be found in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 14. And because of Solomon's response to God's request, God granted him not just a discerning heart, but he also granted him wisdom, knowledge, understanding, riches beyond measure, world power, world domination. He also provided peace in the land during the reign of Solomon. So here, King Solomon is writing this Proverbs, and he is writing it to the nation of Israel. And he says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, we understand that this word fear of the Lord does not mean fear such as being afraid or being horrified, or it's not the same type of fear you would have if you was going to see some sort of movie and it had a horror movie. But this fear is referring to honor, meaning reverence. So the translation, reverence of the Lord, respect for the Lord was another word for fear. Respect, reverence, just understanding of who God is the beginning of knowledge. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever come across a person who acts like they know it all? A person who has a comment, who can comment about any and everything. You can just go ahead and make a general statement, and that person will say, "Yeah, I know. I know this and I know that." Well, this scripture is referring to saying that fear of the Lord, that respect for God, is the beginning of knowledge. And but fools despise wisdom and discipline. As we said in the new century, they use a little more stronger words. It says knowledge begins with respect for the Lord, but fools hate wisdom and discipline. Now, usually those people that act like they know it all are usually people who you can't share with them your understanding. You can't share with them your point of view. They are so closed-minded that they only want to respect or only want to hear their point of view or their side of the story. But here, Solomon is saying that once you have respect for God, that first, before anything, you ought to have respect for who God is, and then understand that only fools act like they know it all. Only fools act like they can't be taught. Only foolish people, crazy people, act like they can't be disciplined or given wisdom. I don't know about you, but there's been people that I've come across in the church, in the kingdom of God, that because of their age, because of their degrees that they have, that they have earned, or even some have bought. Yeah, people buying degrees off the internet. But because of their position, they feel like they know it all, like they can't learn anything. And just because of the fact of your title against versus my title never means that you can't learn from me. We who are mature, we have to always be so careful about when people who don't have titles, when they share with us, that God really could be using them to share wisdom and knowledge to us. But we understand that sometimes, you know, we get to a place where we got the big heads, where we say, well, because I'm Reverend so-and-so, I'm bishop, elder, good Reverend doctor, minister, whatever, deaconess or deacon, whatever, or missionary, because we have some sort of title, that we can't learn, that we can't be taught. That's foolish. The Word of God says, Solomon says, that that is foolishness, that only fools act like that. I'm so thankful and I'm so grateful that I've gotten to a place where I don't get caught up on titles. I have people who always say, what's up, doc? What's up? And I don't have a doctoral degree, so I really don't, you know, kind of respond to that. But I'm so grateful that even there are people, there are brothers, that, and I talk about them all the time, where we share in prayer every morning. And no one feels that they are any bigger or better than the next brother. That we all can learn from each other, that we all can share. Just because somebody's been to school and because somebody else hasn't, doesn't mean that one person is better than another. See, we should get to a place where we don't act like we know it all. Because when we get to that place, then God sees that we continue or that we begin to act like we don't even need him. I mean, we ought to always, or we need to learn how to learn from others. And remember, only God knows it all. I'm going to say that again, because I know you probably want to go get an ink pen or pencil, paper or something. But we ought to learn how to learn from others. And remember, only God, capital G-O-D, knows it all. So when we get to a place where because of what we've done or because of such and such our title or because we think we're better than someone, that's foolish. That's acting like a fool. Now don't be mad at me because I didn't say it. The Word of God says that fools hate wisdom and discipline. One of the things that I've learned that my pastor has taught me, that every pastor needs a pastor, that everyone needs someone who they can be submissive to. Now, we know that we all ought to be submissive to God and to the Holy Spirit, but also God has placed people in our lives that we can be submissive to, that we can learn from. So we ought to never be able to get to a place where we think that we can't. We thank God for the elevations, and we thank God for what he's done for us. But when we are thanking God, we ought to acknowledge the fact that it was God and it wasn't us. So we understand that even as the children are going back to school, even as the young adults are going back to college, that before they do anything or before they get to a place that they think it's all about them, that they first, that we first must understand that knowledge begins with the respect for God. That knowledge and understanding that those things come when we first respect who God is and understand that wisdom and discipline we must be submissive to. We must be submissive to the wisdom and to the discipline of those who we are under or those who we have allegiance to. But we have to get to a place where we understand that knowledge first comes from God. Then we understand that in this age of information, knowledge is plentiful, but wisdom is scarce. Wisdom means far more than simple knowing a lot. It is a basic attitude that affects every aspect of life. The foundation of knowledge is to fear the Lord, to honor and respect God, to live in awe of his power, and to obey his word. Faith in God should be the controlling principle for your understanding of the world, your attitudes, and your actions. Trust in God, and he will make you truly wise. That's wonderful right there to understand. Trust in God, and he will truly make you wise. Now, we understand there's an old adage, and it deals with computers when they say garbage in, garbage out. So when you are not putting in, or when you are not receiving wisdom and understanding and discipline, then most of the time you are living a life of disobedience. And because of that life of disobedience, you start reacting or start doing whatever you feel you ought to. That's usually the garbage in and the garbage out. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to put good information into you, to continue to bless you, to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding, then your life, every aspect of your life will be changed. Every aspect of your life will be different. I mean, think about it. When you first gave your life to Christ, you didn't know it all. There was still a lot of things that you had to learn. There was still a lot of things that you wanted to learn. But as you learn, as you gain understanding, as you gain wisdom, you started acting different. You started doing things different. You started carrying yourself differently and started doing things where you just don't do any old thing, or you just don't say any old thing. All I'm trying to say to you tonight is for you to have true wisdom, for you to have understanding, you first got to respect who God is and respect what he's done for you. And once you respect that, once you honor that, once you acknowledge that, then you'll come to an understanding, or you'll be able to deal with the wisdom and with the discipline that he has for you. I just thank God for his wisdom and for his understanding. And I understand that there were times that I really didn't want to receive the discipline that God had for me. I didn't want to receive it. I didn't like to get whipped. I didn't like to be told that you have to do this. I wanted to do it my own way. But I remember when I gave my life to Christ. And when I gave him my life, I acknowledge him as my Savior and my Master. So not only did he save me, but that also means as a Savior, that but as a Master, as the Master in my life or of my life, I am totally submitted to him. Now, yes, there are days that I go off and do my own thing. And that's in disobedience to him, to his ways. But I thank God, and you ought to thank God, that not only was I disobedient, but you were disobedient. But reconciliation, his love, his grace, his mercy, was waiting right there for us. And even better, sometimes came and got us out of our mess. I don't know about you, but there's been times that I've gone out and done my own thing. And God's love, God's grace and mercy came and got me. So, as we're saying, Proverbs, the first chapter, verses 7 through 9. Verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So let us not act foolish. Let us understand that the wisdom, the knowledge and understanding that God has for us will come only when we acknowledge who he is and what he means in our lives." We're going to take a quick break. Why don't you go get that water? I know it's the end of the summertime, and as we said at the top, the half an hour, that children are going back to school. Make sure that they drink plenty of water, that they refresh themselves, and just come on, go get some room temperature water. Room temperature water. I know you want to drink that ice cold water, but that room temperature water is good for your body. Go get some water. Come on back. We want to play this one song. This ain't in my era, but I think it's so fitting for right now. Will you respect yourself?
Do it.
Yeah. The Staples singers, being led by Pop Staples and Martha Staples. Yeah, I think I knew that one. Yeah. You got to be a connoisseur of music to go to know that song. But we thank the Lord for a great song, a song that just really says that you need to respect yourself. And as I say, as the children are going back to school, as young adults are going back to college, I wanted to, God wanted me to deal with this whole preparation for school. And as I said, in order for us to be prepared to go to learn, to go and be respectable students, this scripture found in Proverbs 1, verse 7, 8, and 9. I'll read it to you again. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline." Listen, my son, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not make your mother's and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. So we dealt with verse 7 with understanding that that first we got to fear the Lord. We got to have respect for God and who God is. That's the first step in receiving knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and that only foolish people will despise that, will despise wisdom and discipline. And we understand that there are some people who go around and think because of their title, or think because of their age, or because of who they are, or who they're related to, that they don't need wisdom or discipline. But here, the word of God says that's foolish, that they're acting like fools. Well, let's go on to verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9, I'm going to read, and like you all know, I've been reading the different translations. Let's go to the New Century Version. Verse 8 and 9 says, "My child, listen to your father's teaching, and do not forget your mother's advice. Their teaching will be like flowers in your hair or a necklace around your neck." The Message translation says, "Pay close attention, friend, to what your father tells you. Never forget what you have learned at your mother's knee. Wear their counsel like flowers in your hair, like rings on your fingers." Now, we know that we understand that that respect and honor of God is the first step to have a knowledge and understanding, but only fools would turn away from that wisdom or would turn away from being disciplined. But then Solomon goes on to say, "My child," it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." When I read that, it reminded me of the fact that we who are caregivers, we who are parents, either biologically or by legal adoption, or just by being a caregiver, we who have influence over children or over others, that we have to be also careful about what we do and what we say, so that our children will be able to listen and see what we do and how we react. Let me read something for you that's kind of summarized that. It says, "Our actions speak louder than our words. This is especially true in the home. Children learn values, morals, and priorities by observing how their parents act and react every day. if parents exhibit a deep reverence for and dependence on God, their children, the children will catch these same attitudes. Let them see your reverence for God. Teach them right living by giving worship an important place in your family's life and by reading the Bible together. So in verse 8, Solomon is still speaking to the nation, and he's telling them, my friend, my son, and let's not get caught up when it says my son, that is a non-gender, that he is also referring to those who are female. So just for my paraphrasing, listen, my son and daughters, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Think about how many times you do something or you see your child do something and you ask them, well, where did you learn that from? Or you see them doing something that you've done all your life. They get that by looking at you, by listening to you. So we, again, who are mature, have to always remember, even when we don't think people are looking, even when we don't think people are listening, especially those people are in our homes, our children, our siblings, or even those that might be older, that it is our responsibility to live such a life that they will be able to learn from that life, that they'll be able to learn and see how you reacted to that struggle, how you reacted to that situation. We dealt last week with faith and with Abraham, and we understand that the faith that Isaac had was a direct relationship to his father's faith, that he learned to trust in God because he saw his father trusting in God. Think about it, family. How many more children would be better off, would not have to go through some of the same trials and tribulations if we would, one, share with them what we've experienced, but moreover, live a life that will give God honor and praise. There was a young lady who goes to my church now, and I've known her, wow, now for 22 years. She is a wonderful young lady now, but when I met her, she was really young, a child, and it got to a place where we had to watch out what we said around her because some of the conversation was for adults only. But because she was so attentive to what her mother, what I said, what other people would say, that she was so attentive that she would really take in what we said about other people or what we said about situations or what we said would happen in our lives. Because of that, she is now a young adult and she has now grown to have a relationship with God because she's seen how her mother, how I've gone through trials and tribulations and how other people have gone through situations. And again, I said this last week, we have to get to a place where we realize that the trials, the tribulations, the situations that we go through only help develop our faith and help develop our faith in God. So don't get caught up in the situation, the trials, tribulations, because that's for your development. That's for your enrichment. That is for you to grow and mature in your faith walk. And as you grow and mature in your faith walk, and as you live a life before others, they will learn to develop and increase their faith and have a better faith walk because they've seen you. So I challenge you today, when you send your child off to school, don't be fearful. Have faith. Don't be all scared. Something's going to happen to them on the bus. Have faith. Pray with them. Read the Bible with them. Talk to them. Explain to them how they ought to conduct themselves. When they see you having faith and not fear, then they will take on that same attitude. They will take on that same mindset. They'll take on that same mentality to say, you know what? I'm not afraid to be on the bus, because mommy and daddy already prayed and they already told me that God would take care of me, that the Holy Spirit would lead me and guide me. And because I seen God do it in their lives, then God can do it in my life. We have to be so careful about what we say in front of our young people and how we live a life such in front of our young people. Because when we live such a life of faith and not fear, they will take on that same mindset, that same mentality to live a life. And that's what verse 8 is just saying. It says, listen, my sons, my daughters, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So it says here, it's a twofold thing. The children ought to listen to the instructions and the teaching from their father and mother. But that infers that as a father and as a mother, you got to instruct and you got to teach. Amen? So, it says then, or verse 9, they will be a garland to grace your head, a chain to adorn your neck. Amen. I think we have a comment. 3560, your mic is open.
Well, good evening. Praise God, my brother. It's always good to hear man of God being a word so powerful, yet so realistic and so commonsensical. And I just had to call in hearing you share how parents should send their children off to school, and it confirmed a conversation I just had even this evening with our children. One, as she was studying, and I simply said to her, my daughter, why don't every time you open your book before you even study, just remember what you should always do. Ask God to give you photographic memory so that you can recall and you can digest and understand what you're reading and be able to share it with others at the appropriate time. You may have to have a test, quiz, or whatever, but ask God and trust God. Then my twins, I was dropping them off to their tutoring to math. I just reminded them of the same thing. They were both listening to music. And I said, let's cut this music off. And I said, because how are you going to hear from God when you're always listening to this music? We are in a world that's so cluttered and so loud and noisy that we've lost the ability to enjoy quietness. But when God speaks to you, it's in a small, still voice, and that you can hear him when you speak to him as well. But you got to take time to learn how to steal time, to create time, so that you can make sure you can be in the presence of God. I said, so as you all getting ready to go here to do this math tutoring, you need to be meditating, and you need to be asking God to lift up your mind and your focus and your ability to receive. And so you now come with that word about praying without children. I mean, it seems that some, that's obvious. Well, if it's so obvious, I would say, why don't we see more of it? And so I applaud you for reminding us that, you know, we're never too old, we're never too young. Earlier today, I had an opportunity to take some young men back to school in Tennessee. And as I was getting ready to leave, and, you know, now all of these young men are taller than me, most of them. But the Spirit of God just compelled me to say, okay, let's join hands and pray. Because, see, we can't get to be too cool or our swagger be too sharp that we can't take time to do what you're suggesting, which is, you know, teach and pray and share humility and share love. Because we see too much going on out in the world, and we don't want to build a child up where it's based on fear. See, many years ago, and brother, as you were sharing with the Staples and Singles about, you know, you weren't in that era, but some of us that were, we remember when our parents used to speak to us in a manner that could inject fear. But they didn't do it with a mindset of doing it on purpose. They did it with a mindset of saying, based on the knowledge they had, it would be better if they taught us an element of fear than if they taught us an element of being too bodacious. But I praise God that over the process of time, that some of us were able to see what was going on. And it wasn't that they wanted to, but in their own mind, they were sharing with us the methods they had learned and how to survive in this world. But we're in a different day, and I think your message is right on, my brother. And I just wanted to call in to encourage you and all of our listeners and those that will hear this message even later from the archives, that the message is sound. We've already read and been told, and I'm just sharing this with you, my brother, that even people that do not believe, that are in the medical profession, that are in the mental profession, they don't even believe. They all say the same thing. There are patients that have a belief in God and that pray to God. Their recovery rates are much faster than those who believe not. And if you are so blessed to have a doctor that believes or a doctor that has enough interest to point you into activities that you like to do as part of your recovery, then combining those two will definitely accelerate and increase the rehab process. So, my brother, I think you're on to something with this prayer piece. As we all know, the word says pray without ceasing. So I just wanted to call in and encourage our audience that may be listening to receive this word from God, because they're being blessed tonight by a brother that's blessed and has unique skills and insights from our Creator, from our Father. And sometimes we just don't realize when we are being blessed to receive a word. So I want to encourage them to really receive it, because we have to be able to receive it. A brother or sister could bring you a powerful word, but it could fall on deaf ears, just like it was from Jesus in Nazareth. It said he did not perform many miracles in Nazareth because the people did not believe. And so, my brothers and sisters, I encourage all of us, let's believe when we hear a man or a woman of God bring a word to us. And while it may seem to be, I heard that before. Well, if you heard it before, I just encourage you, receive it and believe it, because that's what Jesus said. All things are possible if you can believe. All right, my brother, God bless you. I appreciate it. Let me encourage you and your audience. Keep on the good work, my brother. We're continuing to pray for you down here in the big ATL.
Amen, amen. We thank the Lord for you. And y'all see what I get every morning? This is one of the reasons why I'm so submissive to these kind of brothers that don't mind sharing and being led by the Holy Spirit. We thank the Lord for Brother Jesse Storr, just a brother who loves the Lord, who will share. And I just thank God for him and all the other brothers that I share with every morning. And I I go at least every week or every 2 weeks and tell them how much I love them and how much they have been a blessing to me and my growth. So thank you, Jesse, man. I appreciate it. I know that the twins are going to do well and that everything will be fine. So we thank the Lord. Hold on. Change the phone. See, Satan trying to take me down, but I got two phones. So I got two phones, so when one go dead, I can go get the other one. So we thank God for, as we say, having a ram in a bush. But we just thank God for, again, Jesse and the word of wisdom that he came. Want to finish up, just want to go, this. They said, the word of God said, they, well, you know what, let me read this other translation, because this translation, the message is more applicable to where we are. It says, wear their counsel like flowers in your hair, like rings on your fingers. Now, we know that a lot of people, Niecy Nash and so many other people, women, wear flowers in their hair as a sign of exclusion, or let's come up with a better. It is a sign to show the world that, hey, there's something different about me. I'm not like everybody else. That's how we ought to have wisdom. Now, such as myself, who don't have any hair, I don't think I can grow it. It's all gone. But I can wear a ring, or I can do a chain. But and we know so many men and people are wearing jewelry. But beyond just the symbolic, we ought to govern ourselves and live a life that people can see that there's something different about us, that we are disciplined, that we are submissive to the will and to the way of God, that, and not just to the will and way of God, but that we can get instruction and wisdom from whoever God sends to us. I said before, the word of God says that only foolish people, only fools hate wisdom and hate discipline. So tonight, we don't want you to be foolish anymore. We don't want your children to be foolish anymore. But as Brother Jesse has said, and as I've been saying, we understand that the first thing to get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is to first reverence God, to ask God to come into our lives, to ask God to give us whatever we stand in need of. I was sharing with some people on Sunday and on yesterday. Before I get up to preach, before I even open up my notebook, before I even write down anything, I always ask God to give me wisdom and understanding. And not just a regular understanding, but a deeper revelation of his word and of his way. Because I understand. See, the Bible says that during the end times, that men will enjoy the tickling of their ears, that they'll listen to any doctrine that'll take them to and fro. They'll listen to anybody that sounds good. And we said that wisdom, knowledge and wisdom is two different things. There's so much knowledge in the world. You can go on the internet. You got books. You can go to your tablet. You can go to your phone. That's knowledge. But wisdom is a totally different thing. Wisdom is having an understanding of that knowledge. And that is what Solomon says. That's what Solomon asked for. He asked for a discerning heart. And because he asked God for a discerning heart, God gave him so much more. So tonight, for you, when you have an opportunity, before you do anything, the next time before you read a book, you got to study something, ask your children, or your children have to ask them, come on, let's pray. And not you pray, but let them pray. And then, or you pray first, and then let them pray. Because you ought to set the example. The word says that they ought to abide, or they ought to not forget the teaching and the instruction that their mother and father. So instruct your children. Live a life in front of them, a life full of faith and not fear. And then they, too, will get to those places that before even when a pop quiz come, then they'll say, you know what, Every time I talk to my father, I talk to my mother, they say, come on, let's pray. Before I go and study, they say, let's pray. So you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pray. But I know it don't have to be no long-winded prayer, and we ain't ask you to bring heaven down here to earth. But just say, God, bring back to my remembrance what I've learned and what I study. And if you be so kind, give me a little deeper understanding so that I'll be able to pass this test and understand that you're not just passing the test just to be a big shot, but you're passing the test because God has told you and has called you out, and that you want to live a life so that when other people say, man, you know, I just didn't get it. I just didn't get that understanding. How did you do it? And easily, you can use that as a witnessing time and say, you know what? I asked God to give me insight. And the same God that gave me insight can give you insight. So let's pray. Do you have a relationship with God? Come on, man. You can have a relationship with God. He is so wonderful. He is so grand that he is so merciful. That restoration, reconciliation is readily available for us, that we can submit our ways to him. And he cannot just, and so that he can be our Savior and our Master, that he has saved us and delivered us from the penalty of sin, but also he is our Master because we are so submissive and submitted. To his will and to his way. I thank the Lord for you. As always, let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for tonight's lesson. We thank you, Lord God, for how you blessed us to look at your word, to look at the word of one of your great kings, the third king of Israel, King Solomon. Thank you, Lord God, for Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9. How you taught us, Lord God, that before anything, in order for us to get wisdom and understanding and knowledge, that we first got to acknowledge and have and respect for you, that we first got to reverence you, and that when we reverence you, then you will give us what we stand in need of. We don't want to be like the foolish ones who turn away from your wisdom and turn away from your discipline. But, Lord God, allow us to be submissive. Allow us, Lord God, to be obedient. I'm even reminded about an old hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Lord God, allow us to trust and obey in you. And, Lord God, allow us to hear the instruction, the teaching from our parents. And then let us, who our parents, instruct and teach our children in the way that they ought to go. But not just tell them, but live a life before them. And then they'll be able to go out. And just like a flower in their hair, or just like a ring on their hand or a necklace, that somebody will be able to notice something different about them, something different about us, and we can immediately say, it's only because of what God has done for me. I thank you, Lord God. I pray for blessings upon all those who are listening live and who will hear the rebroadcast, Lord God. I thank you. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. I understand. I truly understand, Lord God, that this wisdom is not based upon anything I've done, but it's only because I submit to you. Lord God, allow me to continue to submit to you. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I thank you, Lord God. I bless your name, Lord Jesus. You've so been so wonderful. Lord God, this praise is for me, Lord God. I thank you. I understand. Even when people said I would be nothing, it was only because you called me out and because you had a greater purpose. Lord God, allow me not to disappoint you. Lord God, give me everything I stand in need of. I want to be like your son, King Solomon. I want a discerning heart, Lord God. I thank you. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you. You've been so good to me. Glory, hallelujah. I thank you. I give him honor, I give him praise. In the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I say amen. Amen. As always, we thank the Lord for you listening. Please listen in to the blog talk. There are so many mighty men of God, and we're looking for others, men and women, to come and be a part of the Omega Ministry. Not to be braggadocious about anything you've done, but to brag about how good God has been and how he's blessed you and how he can bless others. So we ask that you listen in on Mondays, Lord God, to the great word, the great man of God, Jesse Store, from 7:30 to 9 o'clock. Then we thank the Lord for Dr. William Hill, great man of God, and Pastor Ken that come on from 7 to 8. And then Pastor Ken Friston that comes on at 8 o'clock to 9. And then it's yours truly that come on every Wednesday from 8:30 to 9:30. Then we ask and we believe in God to bring back our brother. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. For Minister Derek Jones, he's on Thursday nights. I know he's about to prayerfully start doing it every Saturday. Brother Eric Green comes on at 11. The brothers of the Man Up, Pentagon Man Up line, we anticipate, we know that last Sunday, Brother Brown carried the load, and this Sunday we're going to try to help him carry the load and make it a little lighter, but listen to the mighty men of the Omega Ministry. If you need a prayer line, please go. If you need some assistance, you want somebody just to pray with you, I ask that you come on and go to OmegaMinistryGroup.com. Come on and be a blessing. We are anticipating great things, great ministry going on, going forth. We just thank the Lord for you. I didn't play it at the beginning of the show, but I'm playing it at the end of the show because this is how I feel. As always, peace and love, Reverend Willie J. Vann Jr. Out. Clothe me in y'all right now, but I'm feeling so blessed. Peace and love, Reverend Willie J. Vann, Jr.